guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. This week, we are talking NWA WCW from June the 28th of 1986. Things are heating up as we are about to go into the Great American Bash from 1986. Jim Cornette is still on a roll. My God, he's ripping on Baby Doll in this week's episode. And we got a lot more to discuss as well pertaining to the episode just in general. With that said, Doc Harper, it's World Series Game 2, so we need to get in, get our shit in, get it over with. But, Doc, how you doing this week, man?
Man, speaking of World Series, is there, you know, we talk about Lance Russell and Gordon Sully, but I think if I had anybody doing play-by-play in my life, I might want it to be Vin Scully. His old ass is walking out on the field right now.
Yeah.
He's a badass. Hey, you know that Roman Reigns commercial where he's, like, playing teapot with the girl?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I was gonna say that little girl is stupid looking. I hope that's not his real daughter.
Oh my!
Yeah, that's his daughter, right? That's the like promoting fatherhood bullshit commercial.
Promoting fatherhood bullshit commercial, right?
It's a shame that in today's day and age, you have to have fucking commercials to promote taking care of your fucking child, like it's a fucking can of Coke.
Wow. All right.
Well, I want to do something.
We're off to a running start here, pal.
Well, I do want to do something positive here from the beginning. And I want to do this before we get rolling and start talking about all kinds of evil shit and I forget. But, you know, there's docaholics and then there's super duper docaholics. And I want to mention one of our docaholics by name this week. Right now, all the docaholics are leaning forward like, I hope it's me. I hope it's me. But you
got to
actually.
Mrs. Spencer's a docaholic.
I know, but she didn't do this. You got to do something to get a mention on the show. We had a docaholic do something this week. I was listening to the drive-thru for Corny, and we had a docaholic, Doug, in Columbus.
Yes.
Who sent in a question about the rings, the cleanliness of the rings, and quoted our podcast on Cornette's drive-thru. Now, you can go out and retweet this show to your 18 followers or tell your mailman who don't give a shit about wrestling about our show. And maybe you should do that. But, man, basically, we had a docaholic get us a free plug on an award-winning podcast. So this week, my docaholic of the week goes to Doug in Columbus, whatever shithole state you live in. Good job. Doc's keeping an eye on you. Maybe one day. We'll let you come on and talk to Harper.
That's Doc. We got business to take care of. Okay, Harper, how you doing, man? You good? Your Dodgers are 1-0, man. I mean, hopefully by the time this drops, they'll be 2, maybe 3-0.
Right.
That's right, man. That was a good game last night, man. I watched it. I was actually recording another show, but I watched it, man. And it was a good game, man. Overall, real good game.
Yeah, I DVR'd it. And it's like, it says something else is DVRing. I was like, what's DVRing? It's like fucking SmackDown. I was like,
God.
Fuck you, SmackDown. I was like, I still DVR you? I was like, you're gone.
Out of here.
Fucking World Series game was probably shorter than SmackDown.
Yeah, probably. Pretty much.
Dude, there's Fernando Valenzuela, and I swear he's not as fat now as he was back when he played baseball.
All right, let's get into things, man. So, weird news of the week. We didn't do this last week, but I got something for us. The title of this article, and it's on a Huffington Post, so this is not a satire site.
That's liberal. That's liberal fake news.
That's fine. Whatever. I mean, we're not into politics. What the fuck ever. I don't care. My point is, it's the Huffington Post. So if you believe it's fake news, good for you. I'm not into politics. So, and this is a politics-free zone. But with that said, Huffington Post posted an article, "Sex Robot Molested at Electronics Festival," creator said. Now I'm going to read this article. "This is why we can't have nice things. The man behind an intelligent sex robot named Samantha says the kinky creation needs to be repaired thanks to barbarians at a tech industry festival. Engineer Sergi Santos of Barcelona, Spain, wanted to show off Samantha at the Arts Electronics Festival in Linz, Austria last week. The Randy robot is programmed with artificial intelligence so that she responds to gentle seduction. Samantha seemingly gets more aroused the more she's romanced. That didn't happen at the festival. Instead, Samantha was molested and seriously damaged by attendees. The people mounted Samantha's breast, her legs, and arms. Two fingers were broken. She was heavily soiled," he said, according to Britain's Metro News site. "People can be bad. Because they did not understand the technology and did not have to pay for it, they treated the doll like barbarians. Even though Samantha's breast and some other body parts were badly damaged by the sex-crazed Austrian horde, the AI software in the robot still worked perfectly. When Santos asked the doll, 'How are you?' it responded, 'Hi, I'm fine,' according to the Daily Star." That gave the inventor cause for hope. "Samantha can endure a lot. She will pull through," he said, according to the British tabloid.
Wow.
You know, go ahead, Hopper. Your immediately response upon hearing me read that article.
I'm on Amazon right now trying to buy one of them dolls. Password?
Those things are like $4,000. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, but they're $4,000, Hopper.
Not if I get one barely used.
Can I get one with broken fingers?
Yeah, it's like getting the car from Carfax, but it's called Hofax.
That's real nice.
And the thing is, what broke the fingers? Where are they putting the fucking fingers?
I bet they're broken off in some nerd's asshole.
Oh, God. Sick fucks.
You know, I couldn't tell if you were reading about a sex doll at a convention or Sonny's 1996 in the WWE locker room.
Okay. We'll move on. That's your weird news of the week.
let me just talk about something that happened today, too, that's kind of along the – if we're going to stay with a sexual leaning is – you know how – on the Mike, you know, we talked about this, but you know how on Corny's show he talks about his hamburger towel?
Yes.
Okay, well, Harper didn't know about this. So we're gonna do some marketing and product development right here on the spot for the people. I told Mike today that instead of a burger towel, BTT ought to come up with the Harper cum rag.
What?
And it could just be a picture of your face on there with a little thought balloon out there that says, "That's real classy.
That's nice. Someone's going to wipe their jizz on my face."
Well, but you get to tell them it was real classy.
Okay. That's nice. I got fat Mark wiping his jizz all over me.
It's better than putting it on belts,
I guess. Wow.
Jizzing on belts. Oh, man. I mean, look, man, we know the old NWA strap saw its share of rats in Rick's room, right? But I'm willing to bet Rick never desecrated the belt with his jizz. He put that shit somewhere else. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so let's move on. We got a show to do. I do want to thank a couple of new patrons. Moondog, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. That way I can mention your Twitter ad if you're there, or your Facebook page if you'd like. And then Greg Rhea on Facebook, thank you as well. And then Dustin, a.k.a. at Justin_Andretti, who signed up to be an automatic Hall of Fame patron. So, Dustin, appreciate that. Thank you very much, man. And Greg and Moondog and Dustin, all of you, thanks for your patron membership. To become a patron, get access to the patron-only shows, access to be able to come on the show, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Now, Let's get into things, man. No guests this week.
Hold on a second, Harper. It sounds like he's got a whole bunch of new patrons over there. But he, you know, what we always hear is, I still haven't recouped all the cost.
I heard that before.
Yeah, it sounds like Harper and I need to have a little chat with you offline about our arrangements.
Yes.
Go for it. Independent wrestling, Harper. You know how this works.
We're gonna audit the books here.
Okay. Good luck with that, pal. Goddamn, pal.
Hey, I can read crayon just fine. I'm pretty sure that's
bet
all you
write can. Hey, I do want to mention to the patrons though. So next week, Bobby Blaze will be on talking about his debut in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, along with Sonny's debut in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which happened to be on the same episodes. If you're a patron, though, right now, you can get access to that audio. You could have got it last week, actually, because it's been up since Saturday. You can get access to it a week early or a week and a half early. So, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTCPatron. But we had a good discussion about his debut working with, I don't want to say who it was. I won't spoil it for next week. So just know that we had a good discussion. It's about 30 minutes, so it's up on the patron side right now. All right. June 28, 1986, we are heating things up on our way to the Great American Bash, and there's an opening of the show, and it's a repeat of last week when Hawk came out to confront Ric Flair. Then they roll right into the show opening, and I'm going to play that audio right now for us with Jim Cornette. Let me just put that out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to World Championship Wrestling. I'm David Crockett, Tony Schiavone, and Jim Cornette, Big Bubba.
Well, you know, Tony and David, I thought I'd come out here. I'd be the co-host today because the Great American Bash is just around the co-host. That's right, whole thing. Great American Bash is just around the corner, the biggest party of the summer. You can see I'm already with my papers. I'm going to tell everybody about it because you two are doing a mediocre job, but this calls for a great job. And besides that, I'm going to tell everybody what's going to happen to Baby Doll during that Great American Bash, because let me tell you something, darling. You're so fat, when you stand on a street corner, cops come up and tell you to break it up, and I'm going to wear some of that weight off of you, and I'm going to finish you once and for all. And tonight, as a matter of fact, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Dolly's boys, Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA, they're going to find out what it's like to cross the tag team champions of the world. Loverboy Dennis and beautiful Bobby, the Midnight.
I know I'm not the only one that came unglued when he said, you're so fat when the cops approach you to tell you to break it up.
It's almost like the your mama's so fat jokes, but it's right. Baby Doll.
he said on a recent show, somebody asked if like she took offense to it, and he was like, I was pretty stiff.
I'm flat out. That's one of the questions I have for her. I want to know, hey, you know, like what were you thinking when this whole deal with Corny started and he's just ripping? Because, I mean, man, we're like 7-8 weeks into it now, and that motherfucker's relentless. He's just like a pit bull, dude.
He's also damn near manic here. I mean, he is on it, but he, if you didn't know better and know like his personal life, like, you know, we do because we're good friends with him, you would think he was sky high in Jimmy Valiant's stash right there.
Yeah, you would think he's... You'd think he did some Breaking Bad crystal meth. I agree.
I mean, he's just high-pitched and roaring, dude. He is on it, and that's going to continue. That's going to be a theme of the show.
Yeah. Did y'all catch, Harper, did you catch when he said he was going to be co-hosting, like he noodled his way in, and Schiavone gave a look like, oh, damn, not this Aaron.
Yeah.
It's like, why? So that's what I got. Harper, do you have anything else from that?
No, but I like his suit with the red and black. It's a different look for him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as pastelish, I guess.
Right.
The colors I'm looking for. Yeah. Doc, anything from you?
I'm good.
All right. I'm going to play the promos from Worldwide at the end of the show like I've been doing. And he was also on some stuff on Worldwide this week, so make sure you listen all the way through the end. All right, well, we go from that to the match. You heard it, Midnight Express versus Sam Houston and George South. Sam Houston gets some nice offense in the beginning. So did George South. Sam Houston took a bit of a Mulkey Brothers splat on the outside at one point. Midnight gets the win when George South is pinned. Doc, anything from it?
Just more evidence of how badass the Midnight Express is.
Yep. Harper, anything from you?
No, it just I was like, I bet Sam Houston's not taking a pin on this one.
yeah, But the thing is, if you notice, Sam slid down the card a lot lately.
Yes.
Since he lost that title, he slid down.
He slid down the card since he started doing the Buddy Landale thing.
Oh boy,
that's nice.
That's nice. Okay, so then we roll to
a
promo.
Where's your little sound bite?
I've been laying off of them, man. I mean, you can wear those things out. And our good friend at Fake Stan Lane, I just got to give you a shout out. He hates the sound bites, so I'm playing to him the last few weeks. You see, Stan, I really care about you, man. You see that? I'm trying to take care of you here. All right. So anyway, but they do get played out if you play them too much. Anyway, next up is another promo. Cornette's at it again. I actually don't have the timestamp, but I thought he was being nice here in my notes based on his previous promos. He was working light, so to say. Doc, your thoughts on that?
Mm-mm. Well, I don't know that he's working light. My note in this part, because at some point I missed that he was going to co-host, and I was taking notes and didn't hear him. So at my point, I was saying, man, it's like at some point in the last few weeks, Crockett and Dusty realized that Corny was money. Let's get this little scrawny motherfucker out there all we can, because he's a fucking hateable heel.
Yeah, I can see that too. Harper, do you have anything from it, even though I didn't play it?
This isn't the baby doll workout video.
No, that's next.
Okay. That gets its own segment, pal.
Yes. Right. Yeah. All right, so let's go to that since you got something on that. So I don't have anything to play from it, but I'm gonna say a few things and I'll let y'all comment. So then they go to Cornette and Baby Doll, this workout for the upcoming match. And during this, like, it's a promo where he doesn't say, I don't have a whole lot here, but during the promo, they replay Dusty shattering the wooden chair on his head. And then they lead into the workout where they show Baby Doll working out. My comment was, Jesus Christ, that music is the shits. And God, for the record, it's dubbed in music. The real song they played during this segment is the original, in the original episode, was Motley Crue's Looks That Kill.
Well, so look, you know, at you, Casey.
Just so you know. Just so you know. So the music that's dubbed in is some horse shit that I was like, Doc's going to have a fit, so let me look up. I had a feeling that was dubbed in music, so what I did was I looked up the old episode, and I found it on YouTube. I was like, okay, that makes more sense.
You didn't have to do that. Corny says it later.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He sure does. He does. Okay, he does. So anyway, I'll let you, Harper, what are your thoughts on this?
That fucking music was so fucking horrible. And I was like, is this the real music? Because it was so bad.
It was the shits, man.
God, that shit was horrible.
It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. Doc, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was like, wasn't sure if I was watching the beginning of an 80s porno or a horror movie. I didn't know what I was watching, but I did know what I was watching, and it's just weird. And they took something that was, you know, there's a big difference between the music they played and Motley Crue on that second record of theirs. Because Motley Crue turned out to be kind of, you know, lightweights towards the end. I don't care what any of y'all say. But that Shout at the Devil record, that was some pretty, you know, leaning and forward shit for its time. That shit was getting after it. And that would have been so much better to hear and help Baby Doll out. I just waited for like five dudes to walk into the camera shot and just rip it out and start the scene, you know.
That's nice.
That's not her fault. It's the damn promotions, and then it's the damn WWE for not helping them out 25 years later.
Man, that music just killed the whole segment. It's like, what the hell am I listening to? This is garbage. So anyway, all right. Any other thoughts, Doc?
I did notice that a couple of times, and I'm not trying to be like critical of anybody who works out, but I noticed a couple of times there wasn't much weight on those machines.
Yeah, well, she's a girl.
She's a female.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a gym and watched most females work out?
Yeah, usually, but then I get asked to leave when they notice that.
Well, no, my point is, I mean, unless you're in there with some chick that really likes to throw around a lot of weight, man, most women, even the average dude, has like ridiculous strength compared to most women.
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm not talking about women in general. I'm talking about her. And you got to remember, I remember her being in Dallas as like Nicola Roberts, the like punk road warrior type, you know, Mad Max type of female. So that, I guess I don't, this whole dainty, I'm just everybody, the girl next door and Crockett just is different for me because I remember her as something else.
Gotcha. I gotcha. All right, we go to the next match, and while I got to play a segment from it, the very beginning of it, and it's Cornette because he's out there co-hosting. Let's hear what Cornette's got to say.
Back in the ring now, Ivan Koloff, Nikita Koloff, Crusher Khrushchev against Bernadette and Rocky King and Gene Lagan. And before I want to talk about the Russians and the Great American Bash, David, I think we all can read lips. And we knew what Baby Doll said that one time during that little segment.
Well, I wasn't really watching Baby Doll's lips. I guess you were, but that's the first time I've ever seen a bull moose sweat before or a cow in aerobics outfit. But regardless of whether Baby Doll wants to work out or not, makes no difference. I'm still in better shape than she is. I bench pressed 200 pounds last week, 20 pounds 10 times, and I'm ready for her. And we got a great match in the ring right now, David. That's what you ought to be looking at. And you too, Tony.
There is a great match in the ring, but Mr. Cornette, she is going to destroy you.
Listen to this,
boy,
guy. You're a traitor.
That was point blank. Wasn't
you're
it?
A traitor to your own species, David Crockett. What kind of man are you? I bet when you go home at night, your wife tells you what dishes to put
you
in the dishwasher and what clothes to put in the dryer.
But she is going to destroy you.
Well, okay, some of us don't care about women that much. Some of us don't let women rule our lives, David. I personally got no use for women.
Okay. That's the first time, Cornette. And I quote, that's the first time I seen a bull moose sweat before or a cow in an aerobics outfit. And he rips on David Crockett about his wife making him do the dishes when he gets home. Harper, your thoughts? Because I heard the
great.
Chuckle.
That's fucking awesome.
Corny's rolling.
Once again, things you can't say now.
Oh, man. Can you imagine ripping that out on TV nowadays? Good God. Doc, your thoughts?
I had an actual – I thought you were doing something else. I did have a note from his commentary during the six-man here with the Koloffs where he talks about the Koloffs and talks about how – what did he say? I've got a note here. It is – he starts talking about respecting people's political ideals.
Oh, I got that.
Okay. Yeah. And I was like, really? Because I listen to your show every Thursday and you don't. I mean, I like it, but you don't. So it's just funny. Whoa. It's just funny that. And he said, he said when he was in the wrestling business, you're in the bubble. He's like, I didn't start following politics until I lost a bunch of money 10 years ago. He didn't give a shit back then.
Yeah, that's what he says. No, this is the. Yeah, you're right. This is the Russians versus Rocky King, Gene Ligon, and Vernon Deaton. And so where I played that first soundbite. Well, later on in the match, what Doc is referring to is this, and I did find it completely ironic because, you know, we know what Corny talks about a lot of times on a show. He gets into politics. Some people hate it. Some people love it. Some people are indifferent. But here it is. This is what Doc's talking about.
Watch him. He has a twofold purpose. The World Six-Man Tag Team title. And the U.S. title.
He's ready for Magnum TA, too. As a matter of fact, that's going to be a best-of-four series. It ain't going to be a best-of-seven because I think he's going to take a clean sweep.
You can honestly say you would want a Russian to be the U.S. heavyweight champion?
What difference does it make, Tony Schiavone? My mother always taught me respect people's political ideals. Don't matter whether you agree with them or not. Respect their right to stand up and say what they believe in and do what they believe in. If they're Russians, whatever, makes no difference to me. As a matter of fact, it don't affect me at all because, hey, as long as the Cornette Enterprises make money, whichever way the thing goes, I don't care. I'm happy. But I respect that man's right to stand up and say that he's a Russian and he hates America because, after all, this is America and you can do what you want. By gum.
Okay, so that's what you're talking about, Doc.
By gum. I pop. That whole thing's funny. Yeah.
It's funny because here we are 30 years later.
Talking about Russians.
Well, no, it's just that the irony of it is, he's like, everybody's got a right to have their, you know, political differences and let it be known, and we got to respect them. And look, man, I'm not making this show a political point right now, but we know how corny he is when it comes to politics. So I just put that out there. But it's ironic because he's what he's saying right now.
Because here's the thing. I was kind of watching the match, and sometimes I have to go back and watch the listen to the commentary from time to time because it's hard to do both because whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, did he just say what I think he just said? And I had to rewind it. And I was like, son of a bitch, that's – and then I had to type it up for a note for tonight. But, yeah, that's funny. Good stuff.
Yeah. Harper, anything else from you?
No. Just – it's just perfect.
Yeah.
And and I like when a crowd starts chanting USA, USA. Instead of just, they're a bunch of idiots. He's like, yeah, we know where we are. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, right in the middle of the USA.
Oh, God bless Corny. Well – Corny's not done.
It's like Corny took an alpha brain or two before this episode. Dude, he's on it. On it makes alpha brain. You see what I did there?
Yeah, that's nice.
Doc. That's great. I had to point it out for you.
Well, he's not done because after the Russians win that match, Warlord is out there with Baby Doll. Baby Doll is escorting Warlord to the ring, or she's managing him, and he's taking on Mike Samani. And sure enough, right at the beginning, he's got something else to say to Baby Doll. So let's listen to what that says while he's on commentary.
Baby Doll and the Warlord.
Yeah.
Big Bubba in trouble.
Big Bubba, no trouble, standing right by the camera, right in front of me, make sure nothing goes on. Hey, you know that song that Baby Doll had her little special to? She's got looks to kill, right? Well, if those looks wouldn't kill, they might at least severely maim, because she's got to be the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. She is so fat elephants write her fan letters, Tony Schiavone. And this big goof she's got up there, sure he's muscle-bound, sure he's big, sure he's strong. He's 6 foot something, 320 pounds. He's been pushing a lot of barbells around, but barbells don't hit back, and it remains to be seen whether Baby Doll can guide his career or not with what little pea brain she's got in her head. Her brain is so small, if you took her brain and stuck it in a flea's rear end, it'd rattle around like a BB in a boxcar.
Tony, if you notice, the closer we get to the bash, the more he talks. So the thing is, once he gets in that ring...
Okay, I'll just stop it.
First of all, Corny's starting to lap the field now. This is starting to, you know, Corny might want to pull his starters here deep into the third quarter, you know. This is starting to get out of hand.
This is unfair is what it is.
Maybe run out of bounds at the 10, you know. The BB in a boxcar line is just, that's where it goes. He's running up the score. You notice how green the Warlord is? Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very, very green. He just looks really stiff. You know what I mean, Harper?
Yeah.
I don't mean like hitting stiff. I mean his movement. He looks like a robot. Like he's
right. Mm-hmm. He's like a fucking robot.
Yeah, walking around the ring just really stiff. Not hitting people, but just in general. Yeah, I'm with you, man. He wins, obviously. It was like a 1 minute match, but yeah. Harper, did you have anything else from the commentary?
No, it's just perfect. I love his fat jokes. Fucking elephant sent her fan mail.
Where's the one coming up? It's got to be in a couple of weeks where he says that Baby Doll shops in the Junior Moose department.
Oh, man. She had to have thick skin, I'm telling you.
But think about this now. Let's put this back into what you said at the very beginning. We're heating up for the bash. This is the third or fourth thing down the card here. You know, obviously Flair's defending. And Magnum and Nikita have got their thing, but they've really heated this feud up nicely too. And so, man, this really is a damn shame that you start going back to some of those attendance numbers that we saw. That was a card worth paying your money to go see, and nobody did.
And let me spoil something for y'all a bit. Next week's Saturday night is not in the studio; it's actually at the Dorton Arena, and that arena has thousands of more people than many of the bash dates did. Literally. I mean, now they're in North Carolina.
They're doing it wrong.
So, but my point is, next week Saturday night is a hot episode. I mean, this was good, but it's a hot one. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Is this the one where we need to tell the people that we don't have an episode next week?
I'm glad you said that. Yes, because on the network, the next episode should be July 5th of 86, and it's not there. So I did some research. I talked to BTT Hall of Famer Tim Morecci, and he did some research for me as well. Evidently, there was no Saturday night. There was no episode that week. And from what I gathered, the Braves and the Goodwill games took its place. And
we'll talk about the Goodwill games next week, right? Yeah.
Yes. So when I say next episode, I'm talking about the July 12th, 1986 Saturday night is the next one that airs. So just putting that out there on record for y'all. Now, if somebody knows something different, but my research says otherwise. Okay. After this match and Cornette ripping on Baby Doll again, we get a promo. It's a promo in the Great American Bash, and I'm going to play it. I got to say, Jim Crockett comes out looking rather stylish with his hat on.
God.
Let me tell you something right now, pal. My exact note on this is that hat Crockett is wearing gets the Horner Award this week.
He looked like Panama Jack. You remember Panama Jack?
Yes.
He looks like an accountant.
Below
that hat looks like an accountant.
I think it was this week's NWA Worldwide where Cornette is in a full Panama Jack outfit. And you're right. He looks just like Panama Jack, Harper. So, okay. Let's jump into it. Let's jump into this promo with I think I've got it, the timestamp where we hear from Crockett, and then we hear from Magnum and Dusty, and here it is.
And Magnum TA. David Crockett earlier recorded an interview with America's Team. Let's go to that interview right now.
Great American Bash. It's here. It's upon us. 14 cities. And the thing is, only here in America could we do something like this. It's a place where you're free to talk, speak, whether he likes it or I like it. You can do what you want right here. America is very special to me. I know how I feel. Magnum, how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, it's the only country in the world that affords you the luxury to choose your own profession, take the God-given talents that you've got, and go out there and be the best you can be. Take that chance. Go out on the greatest adventure in the world. And being a part of the Great American Bash, being able to wrestle in them, being able to watch all the other great competition, it couldn't happen in any other place but America.
And this is America's team right here. Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. Dusty?
I think America to me, because through the years, Dusty Rhodes, the American dream is my children and seeing them run and play and going to school and being free. And that word free, sometimes we take for granted. And Jim Crockett Promotions set out to have the Great American Bash. It is a statement of freedom. And the greatest sport that we feel in the world is professional wrestling, the greatest promotion. And the Great American Bash is coming to your country. That is free. It's coming all over the country, 14 cities. And if I had to sum it up in one word or two or three words, we've been talking about it. I won't stop talking about it. And I want to express my freedom. I want to do it, Jack. I want to get on with it, David.
All right, Dusty, there's, like you said, we've all talked about it, but there's a man that expresses our feelings best. He's a friend of ours and a friend of the Superstation.
Living in the promised land, our dreams are made of steel. The prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. There is a winding road across
y'all
wanna the
hear this?
Sands.
No.
Room for everyone.
What the fuck's he talking about?
Well, first off, I think Magnum and Dusty hit some of Willie's green before they cut their promo. Doc, your thoughts?
This was just awful from start to finish.
Dude, this was like, it kind of like reminded me when you're a kid sitting around and like your grandpa's drunk or something.
Yeah.
And they start talking about, America's greatest country, and you know,
You know, there was first of all, Magnus said something about you could choose your profession. I was like, I bet I could go to Canada and still choose what job I want, you know. And if the bash is about freedom, how come they're charging admission?
Thank you. That's what I told them.
I just was like,
and here's the thing. I'm a fan of Willie Nelson. In fact, Willie Nelson and I share the same birthday date. I have albums worth of Willie Nelson songs on my iPod. What the fuck is he doing and talking about?
I don't have a clue.
I mean, you want to talk about dipping into Boogie Woogie's stash? Jesus Christ.
Well, no, Boogie, I mean, look, I don't know how much people listening to this know about drugs, but not all drugs are the same. You do some crystal meth or some cocaine or crack, that's a slightly different high than smoking a joint. And I'm straight edge, so to say. I ain't never done any of them, but I can tell you this much.
What's up, CM Punk?
No, my point is there's a difference between those things for people who are not aware of it. Weed doesn't do anything but mellow you the fuck out.
And how do you know?
What I saw right there was three dudes extremely mellow.
I know.
Whereas Boogie is, mercy daddy. Like, I mean, he's just high. He's real high. He's racing high.
I know a couple of people that have smoked with Willie, and they say it is an experience because Willie doesn't have stink weed, dirt weed, and he's got a lot of sticky icky, if you will.
That's nice, Doc.
The other thing is, why did it seem like David Crockett was about to cry at the beginning of that?
I'm telling you, that was
the part of this that, like Harper said. He's drunk, but he's reminiscing about some nostalgic shit, so now he's getting a little bit, you know, teary-eyed about it.
I guess. They were all high.
Fucking grow a dick, old man. Let's go.
That's the what?
Damn. Okay.
Dusty's the only one that was kind of halfway decent, because he's like, I'm tired of talking about this shit. I'm high. Let's go fight.
Yeah, he was semi-happy at least. Let's move on. So after the mellow weed smoking session there, we got a match between Ole and Arn versus Tony Zane and Don Kernodle. We talked about this recently on a Smoking
Mountain
show.
I believe that was Rocky Kernodle, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. We talked about this recently on a Smoky Mountain show. Did you hear when Cornette mentioned Arn's line about a three-legged table not being good for anyone?
Yes. He repeated it.
Yeah, he threw it out there, and it's, you know, this is 86 and 93. You know, 4 years later, he's saying that same line in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, or Arn is. So I thought that was kind of cool just to hear that and knowing where we're at with Smoky Mountain. The Andersons get the win when Zane gives up via submission. Harper, do you have anything from this match?
No, it was a classic Arn Anderson match, an only match. They worked on his arm and worked on a body part, and it made him tap out.
They did something you don't do anymore. That's right.
Yeah.
Or you don't see a lot anymore. And we're talking just an arm bar. I mean, that's right.
That was my note. Is he won with a damn arm bar?
Yeah.
The only time you see that anytime recent was we also saw Fuller do that in Smoky Mountain.
Recent. That's 1993. You mean?
Close enough.
When you deal in classic wrestling, that's recent, pal.
I guess you're right. Well, so let's go after that. They go straight from that to a promo with Arn, Tully, JJ, and Ole. So let's hear what they got to say. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm privileged. Today I'm surrounded by three of the four horsemen and their spiritual guidance. The administrative director of Tully Blanchard Enterprises, my colleague James J. Dillon, national heavyweight champion Tully Blanchard, world television champion Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson. Gentlemen, all I can say is welcome.
Mr. Cornette, you're very quick-witted today. There's nobody that's got a sharper tongue than you do, but today, for me personally, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, and David Crockett, in an early interview, set the mood for me, which is a very, very dead serious mood. We're just a few days away from the Great American Bash. And a lot of money is involved, a lot of prestige, a lot of things on the line. And they talked about living in the promised land, waving the American flag. That's all fine and well. But you see, living in America doesn't guarantee you success. It only guarantees you the opportunity. And then from that point, you have to take your ability and get out and get it done. Now, American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, you crippled Ole Anderson and put him out for almost 6 months. You have not yet been fully paid for what you did. But you are vulnerable. And you will go down, and it could happen before the American Bash is over with. Now, the Road Warriors, awesome. They said you couldn't beat them. They said you couldn't hurt them. And right here in this very studio, the people that you see surrounding me right now, minus the world heavyweight champion Ric Flair, who's here in spirit and constantly on our minds, was out here, and all of the Road Warriors, not one of them, not two of them, but all three of them were laid out right here in this studio, and we stepped over them on the way out. And then we turned around to prove a point and picked up the slap. That's what I'm getting to, the slap. The slap heard around the world, honk. And Tuesday, Philadelphia, Veterans Stadium, the slap was nothing because Ric Flair is going to finish and prove that it wasn't a fluke.
You know, Jim Cornette, the Horseman is like a family. Rock said it many times, and when he came back, the family was back complete. And you know, Rock, since you've been gone, Dusty Rhodes, he sends a lot of people, Garvins, Magnums, Road Warriors, all around to protect himself, so nothing happens to him. But you know, we have proved that the Horsemen are mightier than all of the rest. The Road Warriors, Garvin, all of them have all been left laying and carried out of any building by the Horsemen, only Arn, Flair, and Tully. That's it. That's it. That says it all. Dusty Rhodes, you are vulnerable. Cage matches, you get the Road Warriors. You get Baby Doll. You get anybody you want. The Four Horsemen will take you down. And Dusty Rhodes, 86, is your last year. Right, Rock?
Holy.
Everybody's already said it, but Rhodes, one last message for you. I made the prediction 86 is going to be the end. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. Four Horsemen are here together, and the one thing that we're going to do, whether it's got to be me and Tully and Arn or Rick or JJ, I don't care if it's one or two, three, four, all five of us. I made the prediction it's going to stick. Rhodes, you're done at 86.
Arn?
Jimmy, I'm going to be dead serious, and I'm directing this right to you, Rhodes, Garvin, Wahoo, Rock and Roll Express, Magnum, whoever you may be. You look at these trophies, this one, you look at Flair's. All these are our trophies. This is not what the Four Horsemen are all about. To be a horseman, you can have one of these too, but it's inbred, it's guts, it's a determination to be the very best you can be and not caring one bit about public opinion. You think about that. You take public opinion, put it above your own aspirations, you're going to be a failure. We do what we want to do because we want to do it. Get it here, Rob. The Great American Bash, we're coming.
Doc, you go first.
Man, if I was Dusty Rhodes, I'd have my ass being scared, dude. They seem like they're ready to do this thing. J.J. Dillon just cut one hell of a promo, dude.
Yeah, he put Dusty on notice once again. And, I mean, it's real.
He put him on notice. He put Hawk, told him, explain what happened, reminded us all what happened to Hawk. I'm a little confused that we call Ole Rock. I don't think anybody told Ole that was his nickname because he kind of wandered off there. But this is serious business. We got trophies. We got aspirations to hurt people. We're going to do what we say we're going to do, and we're the best there is. There are any questions? Come on now. That shit's awesome.
Yeah. Harper, you?
Yeah, I think JJ and fucking Arn Anderson just fucking shined in that promo. They were fucking great. And I love how Arn says, Holy says that there's nothing else to say.
They've already said it, but yeah, I'll come in and give you one last note. And he's calm as like just telling you like today's Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Right. It's very matter of fact is what I'd like to say about Ole.
I'm not getting upset about it. There ain't no reason to yell. That's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's what you need to know, too. So, if you know how, like, nowadays in wrestling, they talk about the go-home show before pay-per-view and whatnot. So, this is essentially your go-home before the Great American Bash Tour begins. So, this is what you heard is them kind of giving their, like, last promo before that happens. And, I mean, JJ puts Dusty on notice, and he brags about what they did to the Road Warriors, which is insane. I mean, I don't really know how you could get much better from what these four guys deliver right here, or five, if you... four, I'm sorry, because Flair's not out there. But, I mean, damn, it's just damn good, man. And mm-hmm. It's another one of them times where you sit there, and you probably watch this, and you don't realize it. You go, shh, man... wrestling just ain't like this no more.
Hell no.
So, you know, okay. After that promo is another promo. It's Paul Ellering followed by the Warriors. Now, I don't have Ellering's soundbite, but I thought Ellering actually did a good job here. You know, he sounds mad and they want revenge. He describes how the Horsemen have dug their hole and the Warriors will get them back. Doc, did you have anything from Ellering's part before I play the actual Road Warriors talking here?
Yeah, you see that hat, that ball cap he's wearing?
Yeah.
How come back in? How come in the mid '80s every ball cap you put on your head was that tall? That shit looks stupid.
Hey, that's true, huh?
It's just how they were back then.
Man, that's, you talk about make America great. That wasn't great, pal. That was stupid.
You talking about baseball hats? Jesus.
That shit was dumb, man. Those hats. I remember too, man. When I was like 12 years old, you get a hat, and it's like, sways in the breeze, it's so far off your head.
Yeah, it's so catching tall. A draft. It's
like a plane. Bullshit. And Ellering was wearing one of those. I'm like, God damn, this reminds me of my fucking youth, the part I hated.
Hopper, do you have anything from Ellering?
No. I was like, where the fuck the Road Warriors at?
Well, let me play that now, because then they do replay the segment from last week with the Road Warriors when they got laid out and whatnot. But let's play now the Road Warriors responding, getting a chance to cut a promo here at Talking Animal.
Okay, that happened last week, and now they're backstanding the Legion of Doom.
You dumb son, Tony Schiavone! The stupidest thing that J.J. Dillon and the Four Horsemen can do is come out here with their belts and brag about what they did to the Legion of Doom. I ain't been knocked out since I was 10 years old, and I'm telling you something, it ain't ever gonna happen again. Now, Tony Schiavone, see, we're just a little bit different than everybody else. We don't care about titles. We got one thing in our mind, Flair, Anderson's. We got one thing in our mind, and that's to have you on your knees, begging for mercy. Then you know what we're going to do? We're going to slap you, and then you're going to know what it feels like to feel the wrath of the Legion of Doom. Ric Flair, you've not only insulted the Road Warriors' pride, you've insulted everybody who watches the NWA across this whole nation. Because, Ric Flair, when you're out here bragging how you slapped me in the face, you forget to tell everybody that there was three guys holding me, that it took four of you to get it done. And when it takes four dudes to jump one guy, that means you're scared. You're real scared. You can't get the job done by yourself. Well, in Philadelphia, you're going to be by yourself, Flair. No horsemen, no donkeys, no nothing. Just you and me, Flair. And then we're going to find out what a bad cat's all about. And then you think that slap was heard around the world? I'm going to slap you right out of Veterans Stadium. You can take that to the bank, punk.
The Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors fans don't go.
I've said it before. Man, Hawk is intense, and he is some damn believable. Hopper, what did you have from the promo?
It sounds like it sucks to be Ric Flair, doesn't it?
Just a little bit.
Until you remember he's on top of some girl named Wanda right now, fucking tearing it down.
They're not here to get fucking belts. They're here to kick your fucking ass.
That was a hell of a believable
promo. I want to know what happened to Animal at 10 years old that we got knocked out.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what? God, man. What the fuck are you doing, man?
That's some hard shit.
I love Hawk's explanation of how it took four dudes to take care of him, but you know, because just one couldn't pull it off. I mean, he's right. It took a gang to beat him down, but they're coming for him.
What's your point?
They're coming for him. This is, you know, this is the war. Look, man, here's the thing. You know how we looked at Warlord a second ago and we said he's real stiff, like the way he walks robotically? Remember, Harper, when you said that?
Yeah.
Okay. So think about the Road Warriors. One, they weren't robotic like that, but they were muscular and big. Two, I guarantee you Warlord couldn't cut a promo like these two just cut.
Not a chance in hell.
Fuck no.
That's what made the Warrior, like, everybody's like, oh, like, you know, because I hear a lot of times people go, oh, the Warriors, just big old muscle heads, and man, yeah, they weren't, like, technicians.
Says that?
I've heard people say that about the Warriors before, like, they weren't, like, a, you know, one of the great teams, but they, you know, they did what they did best. They were freaking, they cut great promos, and they were good in the ring. I mean, I've heard people say they're attractions. I've heard people say they were gimmicks. But, man, I mean, they did what they had to do. They were believable. That's for damn sure, if you think about it. So, okay, Hopper, anything else from that?
No.
All right, Doc, you?
No.
All right. After that match is the Rock and Roll Express versus Thunderfoot and Golden Terror. Rock and Roll Express hit the double dropkick on Golden Terror and get the win. And then we go into Corny.
Hold on. I had a question here. I got confused during this match because Thunderfoot was wearing all yellow, but he was tagging with the Golden Terror, and I was trying to figure out which one of these sons of bitches was which.
I can see why that would confuse you.
I was like, what the? Wait a minute. Hold on. And then the other, you know, I was like, well, that has a lightning bolt, and lightning comes before thunder, so maybe that's Thunderfoot. Okay, that's Thunder. I watch this shit on my phone, dude. It's not like, well, can't you just see it on TV? I don't watch it that way, pal.
Goddamn, pal.
Goddamn, pal.
Goddamn, pal. Why don't you look at it on a tablet? Fuck's a tablet.
Who's got a tablet? The only person in my house that has a tablet is my 5-year-old son.
That's a damn shame.
He's booking the territory around here. I'm jerking the goddamn curtain, eating pin.
One of these, you cut out, Doc. One of these days, you're gonna have to tell a story about how your wife gets mad because they can't sell out the middle school auditorium, but we can bring hundreds of thousands of listeners in per month on booking a territory
from all over the world to all corners of the globe. We've managed to locate and source every mark on four corners of the globe.
Insulting people.
Okay. Zimbabwe and Australia and India and New Orleans and even that fucking sewer, Philadelphia.
Oh, come on. Philip Allen, don't listen to him. Okay.
He's their leader, too, man. He's the leader.
Wow. He's the leader an Eagles fan. I like him. He's cool.
Man, I hope Carson Wentz gets AIDS.
Oh, what? Damn. Doc? So,
and not the Magic Johnson kind, the real kind.
Oh! Wow.
Shit. Okay, let's move on. Last week, you remember, Flair popped off on Dusty because Dusty wasn't in the studio when he delivered that "I'm on lightning bolt" promo. Well, guess what?
Stratosphere, baby.
Guess what? Well, let's listen to what Cornette has to say leading into the Ric Flair promo here.
The World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair, is currently starting the greatest challenge of his entire career. During the Great American Bash, can he defend the World Heavyweight title 14 times against the 14 top challengers, something no other NWA champion has ever done? I think he can, and so does he. And after you listen to this interview, I think you'll agree with me that Ric Flair is going to be the World Heavyweight Champion.
The Great American Bash are going to kick off around this world. And when that bell rings in Philadelphia, the first man to go down is going to be none other than the Road Warrior Hawk. And then we're going to Dusty Rhodes. And we're going to Road Warrior Animal. We're going to Wahoo McDaniels, Ronnie Garvin, Morton Gibson. Then we're going to jump on Big Man Nikita Kola. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, around the world they're saying today that Ric Flair has got to wrestle the best 14 men there are in the greatest sport in the world. He's got to defend this 14 times in 30 days against all odds. Well, let me tell you how it is. When you're the top gun, when you're the world champion, woo, when you're Slick Rick, when you're the man, it really makes no difference, because above all else, you see, the one thing that I am that nobody else is I'm the champ. And when I come through those airports, woo, the sky caps are hollering, here come the champ. You know who they're talking about. They're talking about Ric Flair, because there's only one world champion. There's only one man who's custom made from head to toe. Woo, there's only one man who's a kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying son of a gun. And that's the world champion. So 14 of you, you got your best shot ahead of you. Y'all have got the opportunity to be where I already have been and gonna stay. 14 dates, the world champion. And in 14 dates, you're gonna know why I'm the champ. Woo!
Well, Doc, that's your hero, so I'll let you go ahead. Tell me what you thought.
Man, 12-year-old me was like, he's going to defend it against all those guys? That would be so awesome to see all of them. Man, I'm not getting to go to anything wrestling-related. Like, wouldn't it be so cool to like see him defend against Morton and then Gibson and then Wahoo? This is the greatest thing ever. Man, he just laid the strap in the middle of the ring and said, y'all motherfuckers, you better have your best day ever, and it still might not be good enough.
For real.
And it popped you going through when he was going through the airport and the sky caps are, you know, here comes the champ.
I thought that was freaking funny. That was hilarious when he said that part. The sky caps are going to, here comes the champ. Oh, man. Harper, what did you have from it?
I love when he said, what do you say? I'm something that you're not, the champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's so fucking awesome.
It is. Yep. And let me tell you, Doc did the math on it last week, I think it was, when he talked about the 14, you know, different people. Obviously, I mean, I'd have to look at the records, but to get actually 14 different people would be challenging. 14 title defenses is not. I mean, just 14 different competitors.
That's a month. That's a light month for an NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, yeah. But the point being that it would be 14 different people at the bash was the part that's kind of like, yeah, well, I mean, how do you get actually 14 different competitors? But even then, when you hear it, it's like, hey, 14 people over the course of the bash, man, dang. I mean, they're selling it, man. They're selling it. Like you said, Doc, you're 12 years old at that time. You're like, oh God, I wish.
How's he gonna make it through all this? How's he gonna make it through all this?
Right.
There's no way he can hold on to the belt through this.
Right. I'm with you there. So
he's gonna have to lose it at one of these, right?
Maybe
I should go to this one, and this is the one where he loses it. Interesting concept.
And you gotta remember too. So Rick did the Dusty finish at the Starcade the year prior in '85. I mean, Rick's had the belt for a while at this point. So as a fan, you're like, man, come on, somebody's gonna take this damn thing off of him. Somebody, please.
Nope.
Anyway, so there you have it. All right, Harper,
let me tell you something. It's hard to tell somebody, and most of the people that listen to this, they know this shit. I don't care how many times it happened or how many times you saw it. They did such a great job back in the 80s and before that I don't care. When the title was on the line, that elevated things. Just your heart beat a little faster. You set up a little straighter in your chair to watch it because they properly positioned that shit to mean something.
Yeah, they didn't piss on the belts, and you know, how many times have you seen Rick take a non-title loss, right? You know, in the last 6 months.
Yeah,
I guarantee you that happened on SmackDown last night, and I didn't watch it. Anyway, okay. Well, we'll go to the next match after Rick there. Rick, another thing about Rick too. I don't know about y'all. I'm looking forward to that 30 for 30.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah. I just hope they don't make fucking wrestling look fucking shitty.
I agree. Hopefully it's,
like it's all, you know, everyone's a drunk and a fucking drug addict and can't keep their pants on.
Wait a isn't that what wrestling is?
Shut up. Right, Mike?
Oh, man, shut up. Let's go to the next match. It's Shaska Watley, Baron Von Raske versus Dave Spencer, Lee Peek, Shaska and Baron win. I'll keep it moving. We got the Russians coming up in a promo. Ivan Nikita and Crusher is out there. I remember earlier in the show they did a six-man where Crusher was wrestling, so Crusher is back wrestling on the show. Let's hear from the Russians here.
Six-man champions, and I know we'll be again. Ivan and Nikita Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev. Crusher, you got a lot to talk about the Bash.
I'm very excited for the Great American Bash because of one reason. That's Dusty Rhodes and the Road Warriors. I finally meet them, and it's not going to be pretty. We will be the next World Six-Man Champions. Isn't that right, Ivan?
Ivan?
Oh, I hear this Dusty Rhodes, American troublemaker, this Magnum TA, along with this Willie Nelson, come out here and talk about United States being number one country in the world to live because of all the freedom. Well, Dusty Rhodes, Road Warriors, you're not going to have any freedom inside the cage for World Six-Man Tag Team Trophy. You have no place to go. We got you trapped like a pack of rats, and we are going to take advantage of it. We are not having any mercy on you. We are not taking any prisoners, but we are taking our World Six-Man Tag Team Trophy. And Magnum TA, I'm sure now the bashes are coming upon us very quickly, that you are realizing that your mission is impossible, taking the United States heavyweight title. All the American people are counting on you, so you are becoming very nervous. You are realizing that you are an impossible task because Nephew Nikita is superior to you, and you are nothing but an inferior American. Yes, the road to Moscow during the Great American Bash will be paved in gold. Nephew Nikita.
Nikita has the U.S. title on the line, but he's got another important opportunity.
All right, I don't know if we need to listen to Nikita there.
He's gonna fight Ric Flair, dude.
Yeah.
So you want to hear
him, Ric Flair?
Hold on.
Important opportunity as well.
That's a Ric Flair, and Ric Flair, these are just for you. These are 4th of July, Ric Flair. These are Memphis. Hey, tell Nikita, he's a birth of country. Well, I don't care about you, stinking country, but I care about you, Ric Flair, and I care about these men. You know Ric Flair is going to be in these Liberty Stadium, they tell Nikita, all the many people. Well, it's good. Many people are going to want to see Nikita not only hurt you, Ric Flair, but defeat you. You know, it's been a long time since you and Nikita meet in the ring. Too long, Ric Flair. And it's been too long you've been world champion. Ric Flair, it's time for a new world champion. It's time on the Chaudhry Ilya. They're going to call it Great Russian Bash because it's going to be new world champion. Nikita Koloff, Russian Nightmare. No more USA. Going to be Nikita Koloff, World Champion, Ric Flair.
Let's go to the ring.
Oh, that was painful to listen to. Harper, what did you think about it? Any of that?
Bruh, he calling out fucking Ric Flair.
Yeah, but still, Nikita just drives me up a wall on his promos. It's no other way to say it. Yeah, he called out Ric Flair, but Ivan was a star there, as usual.
God, that was awesome.
He took a shot at Willie Nelson, man. Bruh, this is the motherfucker South.
How great is that?
This is the South. How many people love him some Willie Nelson?
Everybody. Even black people.
Can you imagine the crowd, like, when they heard that? Like, you son of a bitch in wrestling, you called out freaking Willie Nelson, man. What the hell's wrong with you? That was crazy. Doc, what'd you think?
Here's the other thing I thought is that Nikita, playing Nikita right there, gets Crusher off the hook because Crusher's promo was god awful.
Yes. Yeah.
It was terrible.
I don't blame him as much, though, for the Russian promos because he was the sympathizer
who was
American.
He's like, that's fine, but he goes, I'm excited about this. I'm excited to finally get this to you. What?
Right. Yeah, you got a point.
He seemed even worse when right behind it comes Ivan just kicking everybody in the shins.
Yeah, you got a point. Okay. Anything else? Doc?
Ivan looked to his left and to his right and said, hold my beer, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah, Ivan taking shots at Willie Nelson was real good. Doc, anything else?
Nah, that's good stuff.
All right. After that match is Tully versus Italian Stallion. Tully hits the slingshot suplex and Tully wins. And I have to play this. We've got a promo with Paul Jones. And the reason I'm playing this is because of what Shaska says.
It just was too good. I have to play it. So here it is. Let's hear from Paul Jones and his army with Shaska Whiteley being the shining star.
You smell like a fresher breath air, and that's lovely. Let me tell you something right now. The Bash is on upon us. And one place I can think of right now, Memphis, Tennessee. The pole match with the Baron and Jimmy Valiant. You know, Valiant, when you leave Memphis, you might be a bald-headed geek. And the Raging Bull, the man that says that he's going to be Valiant's savior of the Buckhouse match.
Whiteley is going to destroy him.
That's right, boss. Because I'm going to tell you what, Manny Fernando, don't nobody know what you is, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to be. You're going to get out of our hair. That's right. Because if you want to wind up like Valiant is going to be, keep messing with the army. Stick that brown nose in here so I can put some of this black on it. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If you think the Barbarian is hiding, you sadly mistaken. All them big muscles is waiting on you. And you, King of the Hillbillies, I can't wait to whoop me a hillbilly. Every day.
Okay. I had to play it. Shaska said, you stick this brown nose in here so I can put some black on it. go ahead, Doc. You respond first. Floor is yours.
Well, I like the line about whooping hillbillies better than that. So I didn't go to the brown and black. I went to whooping the hillbillies. I think you just, that's why you set the Smoky Mountains on fire to flush them out and then you whoop them.
Okay. Hopper, what did you think?
I glanced this. No one knows what you is.
Prochaska is so damn good,
man. And that's a one right there, though. That's a key lesson when we bag on certain guys. Most guys have talent. It's creative for them that sucks. Because think how just Uncle Tommy, just bland he was as a baby face, and when he turned heel, pressed down on the gas pedal and went like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it was on and popping. I agree. Anything else from that promo, Hopper?
No.
Me either.
I bet somebody's going to end up a ball-headed geek, though.
Can't wait. Fuck, when's this going to happen?
Next episode of Saturday Night.
Don't you know who it is, Harper?
He doesn't remember. No. I mean, it's been too long. Like, I didn't remember until I've rewatched
it. I remember. I know.
I mean, people, I get tweets all the time, like, how did you not remember him? It's like, fuck, it's been 32 years, 31 years, man. It's been a long time. Hell, I don't know what happened for lunch yesterday. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. But here's a question. Who won the Super Bowl in 1986?
86 Super Bowl.
49ers.
No. It would have been the Giants.
Giants. Okay. Who won the Super Bowl in 2003?
I don't fucking know.
There you go. You should remember shit that happened in the 80s wrestling because it was the only thing you had to remember when you were 10 years old.
You make a point. You got a point there. Yeah. Okay. All right. So after that promo is Wahoo. Listen to this match. Wahoo and Ronnie Garvin versus Paul Garner and Kent Glover.
Those two guys messed up.
When I first saw Garner and Glover's names, I thought to myself, could you draw a stiffer tag team? Thankfully for Glover and Garner, there like wasn't any TV time left, and they were spared a beating for the most part.
Yeah, yes. The only thing that might have been worse is some early 90s Steiner action.
God, bro.
Garvin knocks out Glover and gives Glover some chin nuts for his trouble when it ends, and that was that. Harper, did you have anything from the match?
No, and I was wondering why are these two guys tagging? It is just to fill up TV time or something?
Fill up TV time and to beat those poor bastards' ass for
two minutes. That was exactly my note. My note was, given more time, these two guys could whoop a man.
They would have killed this son of a bitches, man. Jesus Christ. After that is Manny and Boogie. We'll put it up to a vote. Doc, would you like to hear this promo?
Absolutely not.
Palmer? No. Fuck yeah. That. No.
I thought Manny was actually okay, and then Boogie came out, and God, he
That's
was
That's exactly yeah. the problem.
Right. He comes Manny in screaming handling, like an asshole.
Manny was handling things until the drunk friend was like, where did he go? Where did he go? Oh, he's over there. I'll go see him.
He just damn. Lost it. Yeah. Like,
exactly. We're going to be in Minfo.
We're going to be in Minfo, baby. God, dude. Okay. All right. Well, it's time to give out a rating to the episode and then do some Rolexes. I'll go first with the rating. I'm going to give it an A. Cornette had me going throughout. We got some good stuff from Rick. We got good stuff from the Horsemen. We got good stuff from the Warriors. I'm giving it an A. Doc, what are you giving it?
I'm conflicted too. I liked it. It was enjoyable. It was
only an hour and 3 minutes.
It, never gloss over that. And that helps.
Yes, it does.
But in my opinion, to get the A, you either have to have something legendary happen with the microphone, or there needs to be better matches. And it didn't quite get there for me, so I'm going to say A-. And I feel like I'm being a little generous.
Yeah. Okay. Paul, give it what a about B. You? A B.
A B?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you had the Horsemen. That was great. You had Cornette, but it's just... I know we don't watch this for the matches, but the matches just... I could have gone without seeing those matches for the rest of my life.
They were all dog shit, except for the Ole and Arn.
Yeah.
Well, let me help you all out. This is the June 28th episode. We don't have another one until July 12th, 1986. The Bash has started by then. The July 12th episode that we're going to watch is a full episode. It wasn't preempted by anything. And there are some really good matches on that one and some really good promos. So I feel you on the matches because you're right. They weren't good matches. So, okay. Fair enough.
Hey, I'm watching the Mavericks play the Memphis Grizzlies, and guess who just scored a basket?
I don't care.
It's your favorite NBA player of all time, Tyreek.
Oh, Tyreek. Jesus. That's an inside joke from when he played for the Pelicans. Oh, dear God, Tyreek. Oh, God. He thinks he's Michael Jordan, and he's Michael Nobody.
That's nice.
It's true. It's true. A Rolex. Doc, you go first, Rolex.
Man, JJ was awesome. Rick was awesome. Ivan was awesome.
Yes.
But just from a sheer volume shooting perspective, I'm going to give it to Corny because, Jesus, he was out there just hitting line after line after line for over an hour there. So I don't know how you don't give it to him.
Harper, you?
I'll give mine to JJ for that promo.
Fair enough. I mean, JJ cut a great one. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, I got to give it to Cornette, too, because he's out there scoreboarding. I mean, he's primetime Deion Sanders, like, just running down the sideline, doing his damn, you know,
high kick strut.
Yeah, he's got his high kick going.
Hand back on his neck.
Yeah, he's on his fourth pick six of the day, and he's just scoreboarding, and the other team's just like...
He's high-stepping from the 40 on into the end zone.
No, bro, he's high-stepping from his own five-yard line. That's how ridiculous it is at that point. I mean, Cornette, the first 20 minutes, Corny ripped five or six, you know, four or five fat jokes in the first 20 minutes of an hour and 3 minute show. It's just like he's just scoreboarding. He's just putting it on at that point. So, yeah, I got to go with Corny. But overall, good episode. Glad, you know, and like I said, next week is going to be real good at the Dorton Arena on July 12th. Doc, you had something to say about what happened with us getting preempted by the Goodwill Games and the Braves on the July 5th episode and there being no Saturday night, didn't you?
Oh, I did some research because I'll be real honest, man. I kind of don't remember the Goodwill Games, to be fair. I hate the Olympics, too. The Olympics are dumbass shit all the way around.
I don't hate the Olympics, but all right.
The only thing in the Olympics is worth a shit is when they started bringing the NBA guys in, and I was like, oh, shit, at least there's something for me to fucking watch. Everything else is a bunch of horse shit. Harper, what do you think about the Olympics?
I like the gymnast chicks jumping around.
Bruh, come you on. Asking the wrong dude. I will never forget last year or 2 years ago, whenever the Olympics was.
And the volleyball Brazilian chicks? Jesus Christ.
Harper was home jerking off, tweeting and posting on Facebook about the asses on the Brazilian volleyball broads.
It's like free porn.
You know what else is free? You know what else is free porn these days? Regular porn on the internet.
Yeah, no, but this was on network television.
Jesus,
I told you,
Tyreek for three.
And I didn't have to like use my phone to sit there and fucking watch it. It was on my TV.
So anyway, these Goodwill games happened because Uncle Ted, billionaire Ted, decided that because the Olympics had politics and people boycotting, he had this weird belief that if you brought all the countries together for sports, you would never have world war. It's a flimsy premise, I know, but whatever. But that's not really the story here. I mean, it was a cracked out version of the Olympics, whatever. But it lasted from what, the mid 80s to 2001. And it died, incidentally, the same year WCW, and it died when it was, the rights were purchased by Time Warner Cable. Mm-hmm. So Time Warner, AOL. So the same people who killed WCW killed the Goodwill Games, man, in the same year. Those motherfuckers were savage as fuck.
Yeah, they were like, we're getting rid of fucking Yogi Bear cartoons, Andy Griffin, wrestling, and this fake Olympic shit.
And if the Braves don't watch their shit, we'll cut them too.
Yeah.
We'll sell them to fucking San Diego.
Okay, so there you have it. Doc pulled that research out of his ass and ran.
So he made up the Goodwill game.
Yeah.
Bro, how rich are you to do that?
I know, huh?
I don't like these Olympics being boycotted, so I'm going to start my own.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go start your own country if you're going to do that? I mean, damn. Yeah, that's some crazy stuff there.
Ted Turner was. If you go do some reading about him, Ted Turner was a weird dude.
You know, a lot of rich people are weird like that, man. They live in their own world, bro. That's what that's what like people don't realize, whether you're poor and white or poor and black or poor and, you know, freaking
hungry is hungry whatever color you are.
No,
right?
Well, my point is whether you're poor, you know, Latin American, Central American, no matter what, bruh, it like most we of, fight over us, petty hey, stuff.
Yeah, here's the thing. You might root for one football team, I root for the other one. You know, you might like this, I might like that, but we're all still trying to knock rent out and, you know, that kind of shit. We all have some core things we got to do. Rich people don't have to do anything but, like, entertain themselves.
That's it. They scoreboard daily, bruh. That's it. They think about the shit they can do for leisure on a daily basis, where you and I are looking for, like, 1 hour a week to do some leisure shit. They doing shit, you know, 12 hours a day every day.
It always reminds me of that Dave Chappelle where he's a rapper on Cribs and he pulls out a dinosaur egg and makes a dinosaur egg omelet. Because that's some shit rich people would do.
Oh, boy.
Only a rich person would go to a different continent, shoot an elephant, and then take a picture with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Poor people look at that thing and go, man, I bet that thing could stomp the shit out of me. Rich people are like, man, I'll just shoot it, for God's sakes.
I got a cousin who works for his wife works for a very, very wealthy doctor. And this dude is into, like, hunting, stuff like that. And he spent, like, $750,000 to go hunt this, like, African animal. And I forget what it was. And my cousin tells me when I'm by his house one day, he goes, let me tell you something, hoss. That's how he talks to me. He goes, bruh, for $750,000, that motherfucking animal better know how to suck dick, bend over on command and fucking let me blow my wad whenever I want.
Hit it, Harper. Hit like the line on him.
That's real classy.
I was like, for a $750,000 to hunting animals.
Almost $1 million.
For three quarters of $1 million, he could have gone over there and set up his own little empire in a kingdom within a kingdom of an African country and had his own scene going.
I was like, wow. Oh, boy. Okay. Let's move on. We got one more thing. We got the promo of the week. I do want to shout out the Hall of Fame patrons. New Hall of Fame patron at Justin underscore Andretti, at JShiny21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91, Justin Rasmussen, at ShepDaddy32, at USC49ers Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at THog94, at SV Pajam, at MartinHowell71, at Tim Moreci, ColdMan822, Gobbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Again, to sign up and become a patron, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Get access to the patron-only shows. And, God, there's probably 35, 40 of them up by now. So, there you go. You get access to them all.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
That Thog fella, it's been a while. He's a Giants fan, isn't he?
Yes. T-Hog 94 is a Giants fan.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, at the Eye of Gibson, he's a Eagles fan.
Fuck him, too, man.
Who's the Brace? Who's the guy from Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Likes the Falcons.
Oh, that's Shep Daddy 32, Wes William Shepard.
Yeah.
On Facebook. Yeah.
I'd rather sit and watch puppy dogs get run over by vehicles on a loop 24 hours a day than have to watch the Eagles ever win a football game.
That's nice.
That's nice, Doc.
Puppies.
All right, let's
puppies. Litters puppies. Of puppies just getting squashed by tires, just everywhere, brains.
Great,
and shit.
That's
didn't watch
nice,
the damn though. Eagles ever win a fucking football game.
That's nice of you.
Hope their plane crashes.
While Doc's bitching about stupid stuff and acting like an idiot, make sure you use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Give it to your wives and girlfriends. The holiday season is almost upon us. We'd appreciate if you use that link. It's a great way to support the show. Now, moving along, we got a promo of the week. Now, Doc, I pulled this one. Harper, I pulled this one. It's Greg the Hammer Valentine, and I forgot who sent this to me on Twitter, so my apologies. You sent this to the @Mike504Saints Twitter address, and my fault, but I'm going to play it, and please tweet me. That way I can shout you out next week because I just didn't put the name of who the person was. Here it is, Greg the Hammer Valentine. I'm just going to say he sounds a little racist. Here you go.
And this man, the Intercontinental Champion of the World, Greg the Hammer Valentine, defends his belt against the Junkyard Dog here in Boston.
You know, I really don't have to defend it against Junkyard Dog. I'm just giving him one more chance. One more measly chance because he insulted me in Madison Square Garden. In WrestleMania, he insulted me by slapping my rock and roll man, my manager, Jimmy Hart. I don't take that lightly. You understand, Junkyard Dog? You embarrassed me for the last time. WrestleMania is over. I survived it. Survived Tito Santana and yourselves' little scheme to set me up in a garden, and it didn't work. And now, Boston Garden, here it is. This is the bait. As far as I'm concerned, it's the bait, dog, to get you, you nasty individual, nasty black person into the ring so I can slap you around one more time because I didn't finish. What I started, you understand? I didn't finish what I started. You don't know who I am yet. You don't know who I am yet. The master of the figure four leg lock. And you're going to find out. Going to find out real soon. You're going to taste it. You understand? You understand? I'm going to slap you around, boy. I'm going to slap you down, silly. I'm going to slap you down so you go back to the junkyard, or you go back to shining shoes, or you go back to sweeping the floors, or whatever you did. You're not going to wrestle me no more.
The Hammer Valentine title defense.
Okay, so that was the first one, and it's tied together with another one, so here it is. Here's the second one.
Challenger tonight will be Junkyard Dog.
How many more times am I going to have to listen to that horrible rock and roll song? Every time that nasty black man comes out to the ring, playing Another One Bites the Dust, how many more times am I going to have to listen to that sickening growl out here on the interviews? Junkyard Dog, I'm sick and tired of you, man. I'm sick and tired of Tito Santana.
And we're all going to see what's going to happen to Santana when Beefcake, my Beefcake, takes care of him tonight. And tonight, Junkyard Dog, speaking of tonight, I'm in the greatest shape of my entire life. You want to get down and dirty? We're going to get down and dirty. You want to play Another One Bites the Dust? That's fine with me, man, because that is your story. You understand what I'm talking about? That is exactly what's going to happen to you, man. You're going to bite the dust. I'm going to rub your nasty black face right in. Right into the ring, you understand? And all that's going to be left is a big black spot.
Oh.
Tonight in the Boston Garden, the true Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, the true Rock and Roll Wrestling Connection. Write to me, baby.
Number one. Number one.
Gene Okerlund is like, what the fuck, Greg Valentine? Okay. Doc, you respond first.
What is this, 87, maybe? 86.
It's got to be
85, because he was an Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. It's got to be late 85, early 86, because Dog
maybe
left
late
Mid-South.
84?
No, it's not. No, it's not that early. Dog was still in Mid-South at that time. Dog left Mid-South summer of 85-ish, around that time. So this has got to be late 85, early 86, but it's got to be somewhere around that time. He does say, well, it depends. There's two different promos there. One of them, he's talking about WrestleMania, so that kind of gives you a time frame too as well. But
well,
yeah.
here's my thing. WWE taped all these interviews, so that's the one that they thought was the best one to go forward with. That should have been the one that we said, okay, let's try that again. On both of them.
I guess they liked it because at that time, I was like, oh, man, that really makes it sound like a real asshole.
Here's the thing.
It really
did. But here's the thing. I don't have a problem with him doing it and being racist. I just can't believe the WWE or WWF would have allowed it.
I don't think they cared back then, man.
Yeah, back then, man. People weren't woke.
They weren't woke AF.
Yeah.
Woke.
Now Vince is
Harper's
woke.
Right. Yeah, now they're woke. No, now they got standards and practices, and they have
That's
an HR
right.
department that they have to adhere to. And
yeah.
I mean, it's no different than us at work, Doc. We can't go into work and just be like, you stupid, you know, effing. Like, I mean, think of a statue on a walk
I still kind of do the cleaned up version of that from time to time, but you can't call anybody a spot monkey.
That's
nice. Exactly. You can't call anybody a spot monkey.
Our offices are littered with spot monkeys, but you can't call any of them that.
Right, yeah. I mean, whether they're white or black, you still can't say it.
It's like I'm fucking working with the Bullet Club or the Young Bucks everywhere I look.
All right, so that was your promo of the week. Very racist. Harper, do you have anything from it?
It sounded like something from the 80s.
Let me tell you something. Greg Valentine sounded like he was eating a steak, smoking a cigarette, and drinking a beer while he was cutting that promo.
See, the first one, he's out there by himself with, what's the guy's name? It's not Mean Gene. And the second one, you can kind of hear Jimmy Hart in the background, because the second one is Okerlund, Jimmy Hart, and Valentine. So there was obviously two different promos. I'm not sure the time span that they were apart from each other, but yeah, there you were, man. That was Greg Valentine. So good stuff on the promo of the week as usual. Everybody, check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Go out on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Check out the t-shirt links in the show notes as well. We got plenty of t-shirts up there. I'd love to move some of that stuff for the holidays. So if you've been waiting, please check it out. And if you're on the Facebook page, just click the Shop Now button and you can go to it. Otherwise, the links are in the show notes. You can get to it from there. I got to shout out my friends from the WPAN, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. Check out their show. They're doing a lot more classic stuff these days. Just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from. They drop shows on Monday and Thursdays. And I think that's all I got. Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
Man, all I got to say is I'm feeling blessed, and I plan to go be a blessing for the rest of this week.
I hear that. Let's go watch the rest of the World Series. I do want to remind everyone, don't just turn off the show right now. We got the NWA Worldwide promos coming up next. And remember, Bobby Blaze is on next week talking Sonny and his Smoky Mountain debut. Harper, anything else before we get out of here?
November 4th. Wildcat Wrestling, Grace King, in Metairie, the Revolution Rumble.
I'm about to mess with him. What time?
7 o'clock.
Hey, I saw the WrestleCon post, man.
You saw that, bro? Stuff.
Yeah, for WrestleMania next year. I guess I know where I'm going to be Thursday night before WrestleMania.
That's
next
right.
Year, so
Mrs. Menace is already hot about it too.
Oh man, she got pissed off. Yeah, because I was like, I said
she wants to go to Cafe Du Monde and Mike wants to go to Wildcat.
Bruh, I'm like, so I tell her like, hey, I'm gonna go to New Orleans. I'm probably gonna come back.
She
on
said.
Saturday.
She said, what great? What time are we leaving?
Yeah. I was like, you want to go to a wrestling? She's like, never mind. Like, oh fuck, you know. I mean, look, I didn't just tell you I'm going fucking WrestleMania so I can, you know, see if I can track down Sasha Banks. I said I'm going to WrestleCon and, you know, who knows what else on the Friday and Saturday, but
when you gonna grow out of this shit?
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike and I had a real serious conversation about buying a ring and starting a promotion today.
No, Mike and
there
I
you
did.
Go. It's called Booking the Territory Wrestling.
That's right. What we figured out is that Mike will be my curtain jerking heel jobber, and I'm winning the strap.
All right, Harper. With that said, you know what to do now. You want to get out of here?
It, bitch.
All right. Hit the tagline, Harper, so we can watch World Series game two.
Book it, bitch.
Thank you, Val.
With us now, the Four Horsemen, Iron Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Ole Anderson. Ric Flair's not here, but J.J. Dillon is.
Here in spirit, believe me, he's here in spirit. The world champion is always with us. You know, I tell you what, you just saw the awesome, the mighty, the indestructible Road Warriors. But I understand, David Crockett, you got a film a little bit later to show them not quite so indispensable, all right?
Indestructible is the word. We talk about Dusty Rhodes. You can't beat him. You can't get to him. Everybody's around him. And besides, he's the greatest thing in wrestling today. Well, you take a look and you know what we've done to Dusty Rhodes. He's just lucky he's still walking around. A couple of other guys, they said, we never can do anything to him. You just saw him in the ring, the Road Warriors. Well, I tell you what, you watch, because pretty soon you're going to see some guys go out there in the ring and do something to the Road Warriors that's never been done. Watch real close. You're not even going to be able to believe it. They still can't believe it. And when we get done, people say, well, yeah, you all gang up. You want to know something? You're right. What's the difference? When you're out for money, we don't have time to play by the rules. Rhodes, I told you, we're going to get you. One way or another, 86, it's your last year. You better kiss Ole, your butt goodbye.
You know what happened, Ole? We found out that Hawk's a little bit smarter than Animal, because when Ellering asked him what happened, Animal said, I don't know. And when he asked Hawk, Hawk says, I think I was trampled. I was trampled by four horses.
Baby. Yeah, I love it. Let me say one thing at the onslaught. The Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, you know the dues that are being paid are going to come around to your house and fall heavy on you. And the Fourth Horseman, Ole Anderson, never will it be over until you are laying at the sawmill with your legs hung up in some type of attraction, Jack. Never! So write it down in your book, Ole. Single yourself out. Go to bed with it. The American Dream lives for you. Every day. Every day. And the Midnight Express now, the Great American Bash. You know, he leaves when I come out here. Let me get over here. I believe this lemonade here was made by his mama. Well, the other day, me and Dow was cleaning up our Mercedes, and my phone rang, and I told Tyrone, me and five brothers were there. I said, Tyrone, get that phone. Tyrone say that what you did to Bubba, you should have took, no, I say, no, Tyrone, let me tell you about Bubba. Bubba's indestructible, he says. Say, he's the bad, look at here, bad as can be, taking a chair
around his head. That's fine. There's nothing in that head. There's nothing there. And when he pick up that phone line, his mama say, Dream, don't let baby doll hurt him so bad. I'm gonna stir up his lemonade when he comes back. Tell him that I fixed it for him.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with us, the mighty Road Warriors and Paul Ellering.
You know something, David Crockett? You got the Anderson, you got Blanchard, you got J.J. Dill out here. Where is Ric Flair? Where is the world champion? They feel pretty darn proud and big of what they did that. 5-2. You ain't so bad, Flair. You ain't so bad because David Crockett,
right,
what? One thing we know how to do, kick in Flair's butt. All around that TV station. And what did they do? The Andersons and Blanchard couldn't take it. The last thing you saw was slapping my brother Hawk. Let me tell you one thing. You did hurt me. You did hurt him. And if either one of us slaps you, we're going to break something. I know we're going to break something.
Ain't that right? Rocket, 32 million homes watch that. He tried to embarrass me. But Flair, you were up over my head. I pressed you like a feather, and I'll do it anytime I want. But then you got the four horsemen running down, jumping me from behind. Well, there's three reasons why I'm going to beat you, Flair, because I got the strongest partner in professional wrestling and the smartest manager. You're done.
All right, Paul.
That's all I got.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more action right after this. NCAA, the best of seven.
That's right. It's not hard to understand why these matches are creating so much excitement. You know, there's a whole lot on the line here for a lot of people. The World Six-Man Tag Team Championships, the National Champion, the World Television Champion, and Ric Flair, the World's Heavyweight Champion, defended against 14 of the world's best. Well, Ric Flair, don't forget, I'm one of those 14. And then the most important thing to me is this confrontation with Nikita Koloff. Well, don't even try to tell me about intensity. Don't even try to tell me about dedication and hard work. Nobody put more into the United States heavyweight belt than I have. And without that work, it means nothing at all. Nikita, you and I will have this confrontation like two lightning bolts streaking across the sky on a head-on collision. I'm colliding with you to get back what's rightfully mine. And four, that's all it's going to take. Nuts. But I'm nuts, sir.
You're going to pay. One match of the best of seven for the U.S. title, Magnum T.A. Nikita Koloff.
Well, it's about time to test. Now it's the United States. Look at gorgeous Jimmy.
I'm not asking nobody nothing. This is our time, Cornette.
That's it. The gorgeous Jimmy, a victory for him and Mr. Electricity Steve Regan with pleasures over Sam Houston and Rocky King. With us, Jim Cornette, we have the Rock and Roll Express. He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? Right now, with us, Jim Cornette, we have the Rock and Roll. He's a good-looking guy, isn't he? I like good-looking guys like that, you know? That's it. The with us, Jim Cornette, we have the Rock and Roll Express.
What are they doing out here?
This is their time, Mr. Cornette.
They don't deserve any time.
This is our time, Cornette. We're not out here looking for any trouble. We're just out here to speak our piece.
Well, you just make sure you realize Bubba's standing here with me.
I'm not asking nobody nothing. This is our time, Cornette. Like I said, we don't want no trouble. We take care of our business in the ring.
Well,
you want to do it that way?
Go ahead and say it.
I say what I want to say, but brother, first you better drag your can. Because it's up to you. It's not up to me. You make your decision, Cornette. Don't leave it up to us.
You just say whatever you want to say. Don't worry about me, but don't try to lay a hand on me because Bubba will annihilate you.
Big Bubba, don't let Cornette write a check that you won't be able to cash, my friend. Because we're out here. This is our time. And your day is coming, Cornette. Like I said, every dog has got his day.
around the corner.
That's right. Yours is just right around the corner because we're going to make sure, we're going to see to it that Baby Di gets her check with you, because I don't believe that you can beat half of her with her other half helping you. That's the way I feel about it. So you get ready, baby. We'll be seeing you pretty soon.
If every dog has a
team,
Baby Di.
Fans will see you next week on the best of wrestling, worldwide wrestling.
Wrestling is a presentation of the JCP Sports Network and has been furnished to this station for broadcast at this time by Jim Crockett Promotions in exchange for commercial consideration.